I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Bucs could get some big help on defense. I do mean big for Sunday's NFC Championship game in Green Bay. Vita Vea. That's right. Vita Vea has been designated to return from injured reserve. Remember, he had the broken ankle. He's going to practice on Wednesday. And get this, the Bucs think they have a reasonable chance that he will be playing on Sunday against the Packers. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown had an MRI on his knee. We'll tell you the latest on that. And two of the biggest plays on Sunday were made by a guy who had 11 receptions all year and another had been forgotten in this offense. We're going to talk about all that and more and some lightning news as well in this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, you know who's got the best party platters for your catering in Tampa Bay? Well, that's easy. It's Mr. Empanada. Now, what the heck's an empanada? Well, you just take your favorite foods and you place them inside a pocket of homemade dough. It's going to be cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. And their empanadas are a fresh twist on some old favorites. Order delicious menu items now. Made from scratch, including soups, salads, and Cuban sandwiches online at MrEmpanada.com. Or you can call any one of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay. Where Latin food quality and service meet, it's Mr. Empanada. All right, Steve. So after a very short night, followed by
Did you even get any sleep?
No, I got 2 hours. Yeah,
it's the glamorous life of a beat reporter.
That's correct. Yes, in and out the same day, a little laborious, but hey, I was able to be at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. We walked home because I was staying close enough to do that, and had a 6 a.m. flight, which wasn't really good. But the thing is, when I got to the airport, so I had to leave really early. All the Delta ticket, you know, have those little. Those little ticket kiosks, you know, where you can check in. And I never have baggage. I just have overhead. They weren't working. They were all shut down, and they didn't have anybody at the counter. So it's like all these people there. It's amazing how many people fly at ungodly hours, like 6 a.m. It really is.
I hated those morning flights.
They're rough.
I'm not a morning person. I'll stay up late, no problem. Yeah. I am not a morning person. And, you know, usually like – you sit there and you book a flight. You're like, yeah, I could take the 6:30 flight. That's not too bad. Yeah,
sounds like a good idea.
And then
you're
like,
11.
Wait a minute.
Home by 11.
But wait, what time do I have to be up? What time do I have to be at the airport?
Yeah.
You have to be there an hour and a half beforehand. And you start, oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. I'm getting up at 3?
Yeah, well, basically, because you're going, okay, like you said, I got to get there an hour and a half just to be sure. An hour might cut it close. So, and then it's a half-hour drive. So that's 2 hours. So if I'm leaving at 6, I got to leave here at 4, but I got to get a shower. So I have some stuff I got to pack. So I'm up at 3:30. Like after a while, it's like I might as well just stay awake. You know, like what's the point of closing my eyes at all? That's just kind of the way it goes. But we'll have a good opportunity on this Sunday because the game's at 3:05, I believe, which is a break for us and our readers, actually. So, yeah, but there was breaking news. This is all a point here somewhere that the Bucs are going to or have designated to return. You can do that with a couple players each year from return of injured reserve. Vita Vea.
Who?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it floored me. Like, I wasn't expecting this. I don't know why he was off the radar. You know, when you think about it, like, when he got hurt, I mean, he fractured his leg, and it was a gruesome type of incident where Devin White kind of landed on him. You could see that leg bend in a place where it's not supposed to break. And so he fractured it, and this was back in October 8th, I believe, week 5 or 6 in Chicago. They lost that game 20-19. And it was devastating because he was off to such a great start. I mean, he was, you know, rushing the passer. I think he had 2 sacks in the first 5 games. He was, you know, a bunch of tackles. They couldn't move him. The run defense at that point was averaging less than 60 yards on the ground per game. I think now they're up just over almost 80 or 70, 78 or so. Anyway, so he was sort of having this sort of breakout year, and then he got hurt. And we don't really, you know, because we're not in the building, right? We can't, we don't see guys that aren't at practice, and we really only see them a few times for about 20 minutes a day when we're over there. So I had no idea where Vita was, you know, in terms of, I frankly had forgotten what injury he had. I was like, was that the Achilles? He was like, no. Remember, he got hit by friendly fire. But apparently he's been, the bones have healed, obviously, and he's been working out, and he's in pretty good shape, and he's going to kind of practice on Wednesday, and they think there's a really reasonable expectation that he plays Sunday against Green Bay. And now think about the Packers and how committed and successful they were about running the football. If you can put his 336-pound, you know, body in 6'4" next to Ndamukong Suh and all the other guys you have that have been playing, still the best defense, run defense in the league, even without Vita, I think this is a huge acquisition for them, potentially.
Well, we know the last month of the season they've struggled stopping the run. And when I say struggle, it hasn't been up to the standards they were the first 12 games of the season, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
They were still pretty good, but you missed Devin White a couple of those games.
Yeah.
Now you got him back this past week, and if you get Vita Vea back, that bodes very well for that run defense against Green Bay, who is very committed to the run. Even with as great as Aaron Rodgers is, they're very committed to the run. They've got running backs that produce multiple of them.
Three of them, four of them. Especially this time of year because you got snow, right? Mm-hmm. You got bad weather,
absolutely.
January weather. They're going to want to keep the ball on the ground, avoid turnovers.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you get Vita Vea back with Ndamukong Suh and JPP and Shaq Barrett, with Levante and Devin White behind there, and you like their chances of slowing down that run game or shutting it down for the most part.
And it does help those outside linebackers because it's very difficult to block him or Sue with just one person because of this, their size and their strength and their quickness. They will take a one-on-one and push the guy into the quarterback. So very often you'll see teams use the guard, both guards sometimes, to try to put four hands on each defensive tackle that the Bucs have. And when you do that, that's how JPP and Shaq Barrett get one-on-ones. And when you do that, that's how Shaq Barrett and JPP get the quarterback on the ground. And that's sort of what was happening earlier in the year at one point. Then Vita got hurt, and you know, Bruce Arians said he was convinced he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. I don't know that I would argue with that. I mean, for him to have two sacks and a bunch of quarterback hits, you know, in the first five games, that projects out pretty well over a 16-game season. And, I think there's a mental edge there, too, when you get a guy like that back. And, again, I hasn't played football, don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in, don't know how much he would play. But if he gives you anything, just to look over there and see Vita Vea on your defense has got to be a huge lift psychologically, if nothing else.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just knowing, his first, unfortunately, all three of his seasons, he's had injuries.
He has.
But he's shown such great improvement every year, too.
He has.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, too, the other part of this is the Bucs crushed the Packers back in, what, week 6, 7, whatever it
38
was.
38-10, yeah.
They didn't have Vita Vea that game.
No, they did not. You're right.
He got hurt before against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So they shut the Green Bay down. Now, I think Green Bay's a little different team than that, even though they were undefeated going in that game. But
yeah,
and I think their run game's better than it was back at the early in the season.
I think they're more committed to it, yeah.
Yes. But you shut them down without Vita Vea. Now if you get to add him back in to your defense, that only enhances your ability to shut down that run, which means, you know, get to Aaron Rodgers more as well in the pass rush too. So this is a pleasant surprise, or it may, that's probably
didn't
not,
see it
not
coming.
Even saying it nice enough.
Right. A welcome addition. And you know, look, let's not be naive here. There was a reason why nobody expected to see him again. You would have to make it to this game, right? Like you were going to have to make it to the championship game or the Super Bowl before, he would be even close to ready. So you can't really predict that, in Chicago in week 5.
Is this like getting Steven Stamkos back in game 3 of the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah.
I mean, you
kind of, except you hope he lasts more than one goal.
Or,
but,
yeah,
you know.
Or a few years ago when Stamkos came back for Game 7 against Pittsburgh. No, they lost that game, but it was a good game. But, you know, you get him back in the middle of the playoffs.
It's an emotional lift, like crazy.
Absolutely.
You know, and the thing is, okay, let's use the Stamkos example, and I'm not predicting that Vea, if he plays, is going to be one and done. Like he's, but let's say that maybe he doesn't even play the Super Bowl. Let's say he goes out there, and like Stamkos, who gave you a key goal at the time, he lays on top of Aaron Rodgers during a critical third down, and it turns the game, you know, or creates a fumble, or you know, does something like that. Even if he doesn't play in the Super Bowl, you've benefited from him being out there. I mean, these every play means so much that you want all hands on deck. And these are two big, meaty hands, and he's hard as hell to move. I don't think the weather's going to bother him per se. You know, if it's a sloppy track and stuff like that. But, I mean, he hasn't played football in a while, granted. But he's a massive human being who can move really well.
Well, normally this time of year you lose players. You're not gaining
exactly.
players.
Exactly. Right. And not guys with fresh legs. Now you'd say, well, he's not in football shape. Well, I don't need him for 60 plays.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I'm saying?
And he's not running. He's not running up and down the field.
No.
You know?
No, but I'm putting him in there when I need him early in downs, maybe a few rush downs. But I still have, you know, everybody that's been doing a good job. You know, they're still number one against the run. They've given up a little more yards, but I've got Steve McClendon. You know what I mean? I still have Will Golston. I still have guys that I play, and they can continue to play. But then you add him to the mix for, hey, buddy, go as long as and as hard as you can. He's a talented, talented guy, man. And this was – I'll tell you what this was, and I'm just guessing here, but like – You know, I broke this on Twitter, and then it was on our website. Twitter sometimes easy to follow in terms of, like, how many people open it, you know, how many people look at it.
Yep.
And by, like, a couple hours, it was 1.5 million. And then when I last looked, it was damn near 4 million people had seen the breaking news about Vita Vea coming back. Now, that's, in our business, that's a lot of clicks, right, on a tweet, essentially. But... what it says to me is the gamblers are worried because there's so much. No, seriously, there's so much action on these games right now that this could literally he could move the line. And I don't mean the Green Bay line. I mean,
he could be moving both lines.
That's right. And so if it was 4, it could be 3. And if it was 3, it could be 2.5, you know.
Well, not only that, but this is what happens when you're down to 4 teams and there's only 4 teams that people are following.
That's such a great point. That's
you're
such
in the final 4. The Bucks aren't used to that. You know, it's been, what, since 2002 or 2003 postseason. That, you know, it was the last time
they were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, you know, the other part, I mean, it's partly the gamblers in that, but it's also there's 4 teams left.
There's
3 football games left this year. That's it.
And let's be honest. Their quarterback is the best story right now, isn't it? I mean, you were going to get Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers against Brady. Nothing against Brees. Brady's going to trump Drew Brees by about 5 Super Bowls. You know what I mean? Brady's story this year, okay, is one of the most compelling in the NFL in years, right? Like Peyton Manning, it was interesting when he went to Denver, and I don't think they made it to the Super Bowl his first year. Eventually went to 2. He won one of them. That was a hell of a story. You know, like him leaving. He's pushed out of Indianapolis. They drafted Andrew Luck after he got hurt. But nonetheless, that was a big story. Brady doing this with this franchise that had a 12-year drought of playoff appearances that has only been in this game 3 other times in the history of their franchise. This is just the fourth time, and for him to do that in his first try and be 60 minutes from making history again as the first, you know, home team or team to play in its home stadium for the Super Bowl, I mean, those things are huge, man.
Well,
I mean,
not only that, but he took over a team that set records last year, franchise records in points and that, but had a lot of turnovers.
Yep.
He comes in during a pandemic with no offseason, no preseason.
Right.
And beats that record of points in a season and sets the franchise record for the least amount of turnovers they've ever had as a franchise. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's incredible. You
know, completely changed that. I mean, while the offense was still just as productive, if not more, mm-hmm. maybe he didn't throw for as many yards, but they got more points.
Yeah.
But they cut the turnovers down to 17 for a season. One a game.
It's a hell of a lot, man.
You know, when Jameis Winston last year had 30 picks himself.
Yeah.
Before you counted fumbles for him and other players.
The thing that's so impressive about him is that he rarely, I mean, he's got 12 interceptions and five of them came against the Saints. And a lot of that is pressure oriented, but mm-hmm. he rarely will place the ball in a position where any, you know, the only one that can catch it is his receiver, most likely. And it might be a tough catch, but he misses well. Like people, you know, mm-hmm. likened it to, you know, Maddox when he used to pitch for the Braves, you know, and would paint the corners, but just a little bit outside the corners, and he'd see how much further he could sneak out there, and the umpire still call it a strike. That's corner. He had good misses, and what Brady has is good misses. And so, you know, outside of the Saints, no one's really gotten them that much. But, man, you know, they were sort of on it. And so, yeah, Vita Vea coming back is a huge boon to their defense, which great plan by Todd Bowles, who, by the way, is or has by now, by the time you listen to this podcast, was going to interview for the Philadelphia Eagles job, head coaching job. I don't think that'll detract from his game planning or anything like that. So shout out to him, first and foremost. But they, you know, they've got some concerns too. And one of those, from an injury standpoint, is Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly when he went out of the game last night or on Sunday night, but I want to say he didn't play much in the second half.
He was kind of favoring one leg at one point during the game.
Is that what it was?
Just slightly. It wasn't, you know, like he, you know, a huge limp or couldn't walk or run, but he was favoring a little bit. They were showing that on television some.
Yeah. Well, we don't know exactly what it is. I don't think they're overly concerned. He did go for an MRI on Monday. They didn't make those tests available to us yesterday. The first injury report really didn't come out until Wednesday, and there's some gamesmanship with that. So you may or may not, you know, get a perfect answer. But they need Antonio Brown. You need guys. And we talked about how he has led sort of the charge, you know, after the bye week with, you know, the last four regular season games and in the playoffs. He's really been a difference maker, and he really didn't show up all that much, you know, on Sunday. I think he had maybe one catch. And so, but here's what was interesting about Antonio, as good as he's been, and he's been terrific, is that how two of the biggest plays made for Tom Brady in that game.
Mm-hmm.
One was by a guy who had 11 receptions all year. All year, 11 catches. Made the biggest play.
It was a tremendous catch.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And the other was someone that was just forgotten in the offense because of Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. And we saw Antonio Brown stealing touchdowns from him, from Scottie.
Yeah, we did. So... So I'm talking about Tyler Johnson, the rookie from Minnesota, who came in on 3rd and 11 in a tie game, 20-20. I mean, if you don't pick up that third down, you don't get three more plays, and you don't go down there and you know, and score and get a touchdown. You know, you may turn that ball over, and New Orleans does that. But he made the best. Wouldn't even call it a back shoulder. It was more like this twisting, pirouetting, you know, Circus de Olay catch. I mean, it was crazy, man. And look, that might have been the only target he had all day. And frankly, he had only 11 receptions his entire rookie season. But what a huge play for him in a 20-20 game, I believe, at the time.
Well, and it's only going to give Tom Brady more confidence in him. And I know that,
absolutely,
you know, you didn't hear the announcers, but, you know, Troy Aikman was saying that Brady, you know, is constantly mentioned to him. I got to remember number 18.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, he really likes him and his skill set and that. He just, you know, there's a lot of weapons on this offense. You can't throw it to everyone. But he, you know, Aikman kept saying, you got to remember to throw it to get 18 involved, too.
Yeah, he's really talented. He's going to have a good career, I think. And then Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller was the forgotten man because of Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a huge play. You know, a shot play down the field where he knew the safety was coming over, was going to drill him, and did. But he protected himself and the ball, made the play. So, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, having Brown and Godwin and Mike Evans. I mean, that's a great place to start. And then Gronk and the running backs. But then behind those guys, you know, to have a Tyler Johnson, to have a Scotty Miller. I mean, that's what makes you a great team, you know, when you have guys that can, you know, fill in. Next man up. I know everybody preaches that next man up mentality. I got news for you. That next man up, if he can't play, you don't want the next man up. it's a bunch of crap. I mean, you know, you'd rather have your guy in there at 50% sometimes than the next man, because the next man, a lot of times, just couldn't play. But they got some kids that can play, some young players. And you know, credit Brady, too, for trusting him. A lot of quarterbacks might give lip service to the fact that, oh, I trust everybody, you know. When you got the ball and you're pulling the trigger, unless you think a guy's going to make a play for you in tight coverage, you may not go there, you know. So he's worked enough with Tyler and with Scotty. Obviously, he's had a rapport with him since the first day of training camp, really going back to Berkeley prep. I got to believe that, you know, Tom instills confidence in these guys because he'll throw the ball to them, you know, when they come in. And they reward him for that.
Well, he'll throw it as long as they keep catching it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, there you go. And he'll love throwing it if they can make circus catches, yep, on some passes that maybe weren't where they should be.
I still worry about the running backs catching the ball in the backfield.
I do too.
Leonard Fournette dropped another one on Sunday.
Yeah, I do too. They're just not good at it.
And you saw the look of frustration,
disgust,
on Brady's face after Fournette dropped that one.
Yeah, you did. He was. I think, kind of thrilled he hung on to the one in the end zone for a touchdown. I'm not sure.
Well,
he
bobbled that too, so that wasn't a clean
catch.
Well,
and you know, this is the thing. Like, some things happen. Like, you know, Godwin had some opportunities there, mm-hmm, and didn't put one away. And
although that would have been a tough circus catch.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, but I've seen guys make it. I've seen him make it.
Yeah, he just didn't get it tucked in.
He actually
enough.
Did the hard part. It was just when he hit the ground.
That elbow hit the ground and it just popped the ball
out. Popped it back up.
He couldn't get that elbow.
You know, the rules, you know. Yeah. So the Zapruder film comes out. You know, and it's like, wow, look at frame number 347, Jane. Well, you know, it's like
back into the left.
Exactly.
Into the left.
I saw the ball move. It moved. Did you see it moved? Oh, it definitely moved. I just wonder what it would have been when Burt and Emmanuel was playing, speaking of championships games, in St. Louis back in the day, 1999 season, I think, something like that.
I think so. Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
The other teams, other times they made the championship game. But here they are, and you got some young players that they trust, particularly on offense. And then the defense, holy cow, what can you say about those guys? I don't know. They still do awards even in the postseason. I would expect one for Devin White. I think it's coming. When you fill out a stat sheet like he did.
Yeah, 11 tackles, an interception, a fumble recovery,
yeah, I mean,
a stiff arm.
A stiff arm, yeah. Intimidation, a lot of mouthing going on back and forth.
Oh, he talks a lot.
He talked a lot after the game.
Yeah.
How'd you like his quote about, like, you know what fired us up is what everybody's talking about? What's our identity? And then Bruce said it. Bruce stepped up and said, I'll tell you what our identity. We're a bunch of blankety blanks who win.
Who find a way to win.
He's like, yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
But you know what? And he followed that up with, you know what? At the end of the day, all that matters is if you win or lose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what we do. Yeah, I like that. I love his energy, his enthusiasm. I think it rubs off. It's a lot of swag. Well, yeah, but it's noticeable even the way the defense plays when he's on the field and not.
Oh yeah, he's a beast. Look at, mm-hmm, and I'm not saying he's this guy, but I'll continue to say it. He's this guy for them. He's their Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that he's going to wear a gold jacket one day,
but he's their emotional leader. He's their emotional leader.
Emotional, but it's, you know, a lot of guys can go out there and scream. I've seen 100. Mike linebackers, you know, go out there and they're all up in the bit, and some of them are, you know, yellers, and some of them are, we know Lamonte doesn't say boo, mm-hmm, if you spot him, the B and the O, but, you know, Devin White backs it up.
Well, there's a difference between being emotional and an emotional leader.
There you go.
There's a lot of people that can yell and scream, and it's
he brings
whatever.
Energy. You know, I would say he's like their spark plug. Like he's the guy that when you plug him in, the rest of the defense is suddenly energized. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He's got that charisma, that leader quality that some guys have. Levante David's a very quiet. You know, he's not gonna be the rah-rah
guy. He's a good leader,
but
he's not the rah-rah guy.
It's more by example with Levante. That's
his personality.
You need guys of all different personalities on a team. You can't have them all be the same. You don't want that. Evan Longoria was a great leader for the Rays, but he wasn't the emotional rah-rah guy. He was the do it by example guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to sit back and others can have the spotlight. And that was, that was needed on the Rays. And he was very good at that. And then others are more vocal and more, Chris Archer wanted to be more of a vocal leader. Kevin Kiermaier wants to be more of a vocal leader. And football teams are the same way. Ray Lewis was a vocal leader, obviously. But you've had lots of other leaders that aren't. Levante David on this defense for years.
Right.
But
to his detriment, because he doesn't say anything, he probably gets overlooked a lot.
I think he gets overlooked for that and the way the team played for, his first eight, nine years too. Yeah. So
that's the biggest reason. White's star will rise because of these postseason.
Absolutely. If he comes out Sunday and plays similar to what he did this past Sunday,
it's going to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, he was already a Pro Bowl snub this year. He should have been in the Pro Bowl, but
there's some guys I was talking. There's some guys at the Bucks like, yeah, I love the way he's playing. Sure looks like he's going to be an expensive player to keep. I mean, the funny thing is like he's in year two, and he was a first round pick, so you actually get like a club option in year five. But already you're like doing the math in your head. It's like, how many players are we going to have to leave to keep this guy?
I'd rather have that problem than, he's a good player. And maybe we'll re-sign him. Maybe we won't.
No doubt. It's just funny to me that, somebody's got to be watching the dollars, right? Like somebody's going to be thinking ahead of, what's going to happen next Sunday. But, man, I've enjoyed watching him play and talk after the game. And he's got a little intimidating. I mean, he was hitting some piles, They had some guys stood up and 45 would come in there and just level everybody.
He's
so
big. You don't realize how big he is to all
he's
of a sudden.
Thick. He's really thick.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big thick dude.
And
he can run.
And you see how thick he is, and then you go, wow, he can run that fast?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. You realize that and you're going, whoa, he's moving.
Anything that big and that fast should have a damn license plate on it, don't you think? I mean, really, you should pay taxes on that vehicle. But he's, and charismatically, of course, he's got charisma for days and days. I'll be honest with you. They've got some young players just from these last two drafts. I don't care what anybody, who's ever listening to this podcast, I don't care what your perception is or was of Jason Light. You got to take the hat off to the man. You know what I'm saying? First of all, have you seen a better rookie in the last 5 years? And I'm sure you can come up with one. But let's say lineman in the last 5 years better than Tristan Wirfs looks right now.
I mean, the only one I can think of that I think is really good is Quentin Nelson, who the Bucks wanted to take.
That's a great comeback.
The Bucks wanted to take, but were one pick too late.
That's correct. Quentin Nelson's name, I'll give you him. I would. But I tell you, not far behind.
Yeah, no. I mean, and he's a couple years further ahead, so in his career. But Tristan Wirfs' rookie year has been fantastic.
And what he did to Cam Jordan, I mean, really, those guys should have had like a disco ball or something. He was dancing with him all night long. You know what I mean? I mean, it was like Jordan wasn't going anywhere. He just pushed him around the arc. Sometimes he would kind of finesse him. Sometimes he would punch him, sort of quick hands. And boy, that was a good battle to watch. And I always say, everybody, if you watch the ball, you're missing the game. And the game was up front. The game was, the offensive line fighting, Donovan Smith fighting, those guys hanging in there to give Brady protection and let them run the ball. And then, on the other side was what they did getting after him on defense. They were just really, really good. And along those lines, speaking of rookies, how about Antoine Winfield Jr.? I mean, that strip, that to me, as big a catch as we talked about with Tyler Johnson and mm-hmm. that, but really none of this is possible because I think they're losing by a score, I think, in the game, or it was tied, I can't remember which, when Antoine Winfield gets the strip and creates the fumble recovered by, you know, Mr. Devin yeah. White. Who else?
They were down 13. They were down 20-13 at that point.
They're down. Okay, so they're down yep. 7, and it's yep. near midfield. So another. That's mm-hmm. when I turned to John Romano, who was with me, and I said, "If they give up a score here, this game is over." I mean, I said even a field goal, they're not going to get. They're not going to come back down 2 scores against that defense. And what a play! And of course, you know, White scoops it up, but. You know, Winfield, all he's done is show up, and he's you rarely mm-hmm. you don't notice him on big plays because he's not out of position.
Yep.
And well, sometimes
and he had just missed an interception before that too.
Oh, he should have caught it. Yeah.
I mean, it was a tough catch, but he just missed
yeah,
that
but
one.
I'm sure he'll beat himself up over it. Sure. I mean,
well, then he got the strip, so he made up for it.
But then he got the fumble. Yeah, and they're plus 4, and that's you know, that's pretty much all she wrote, but. Yeah, I give Jason, you know, when you look at the secondary and what they did a year ago, right, with Sean Murphy bunting, you know, they've had Jamel Dean, you know, just go right down the line mm-hmm. with the safeties and then Devin. And then, you know, you go this year and you add a guy like, you know, Winfield Jr., and then Tristan, as we mentioned, and
yeah, and you know
Tyler Johnson, and
yeah, my criticism of Jason has always been they haven't drafted enough on the offense and defensive line, and that's still my criticism of him. I think mm-hmm. they've spent too much on receivers and defensive backs and that,
yeah.
As far as draft picks go.
But that's where they have to go next.
Well, and you know, and I think you know they're going to run into trouble in the future here when. Pretty much the whole defensive line is free agents.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to afford them all. Now, they hit on Vita Vea. They've hit on Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, big time.
Ali Marpet they hit on. So they've hit on mm-hmm. some of the ones they've used. I just don't think they've used enough on those positions. But
yeah.
look at, you know, I think, you know, obviously we don't know Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, whether he was a good pick or not yet.
Right.
And it's, you know, look, they, you know, when you drafted him, you didn't know that Shady McCoy and Leonard Fournette were going to become available too.
Well, that, and you had no preseason, no offseason. I think if, you know, one of those guys, either Shady or Fournette may not be here
mm-hmm.
had they had the 400 reps they missed in the offseason, you know, because
yep.
he's gotten better and better as a player. You know, you just get to this level where one mistake, you know, he had the fumble in Washington and it was almost like, yeah, I don't know. You know, we can't lose because of that. So, mm-hmm. but I think he's going to be a good player. But they've, I mean, those draft classes are really solid, man. And you're right; they're going to have to rebuild the defense next. I just mm-hmm. think that's where you go.
Well, you know, what Ryan Jensen's a free agent this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is Alex Kappa your right guard going forward? How long are you going to stay with Donovan Smith as your left tackle?
We got one more year left on his contract with a mm-hmm. big number, so you're going to extend
right.
him. Playoff Donovan Smith is way better than regular season Donovan Smith.
That is true.
He's a bad dude right now.
Yeah. He struggled a little bit parts of the regular season for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you started worrying about Tom. I mean, that's his blind side there, but
right.
But yeah, he's been much better in the postseason, but yeah, you know, but as much as I'll criticize Jason for you know, his lack of drafting enough offense and defensive lines, I think those are two of the most important positions on your team. He's yep. hit on a lot of the draft picks in the last couple of seasons, for sure.
He has. He really has. It's been fun to watch. And, you know, a lot of people doubted their secondary, especially going into that game, and whether or not they could get, you know, pressure on Breeze. And, you know, they managed mm-hmm. to do both, man. They were really, really good. So far, so good. We've got more of the Bucks this week. I mean, you know, we'll talk more about Jason Light and find out what's going on with Vita Vea and just, you know, what kind of condition he's in when we see him on Wednesday. I got to believe that's going to be a big welcome to those guys on defense when they see him back out there running around. I mean, it is a big acquisition. Mm-hmm. And
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, so we got lots. There's some Lightning news, though. And the Lightning, they were supposed to be in Dallas.
No, Dallas was supposed to be here. They were supposed to play Sunday and then tonight. Okay. But those games, Dallas has not started their season yet. Correct.
Okay.
They had, 17 players come down with COVID. Now they're practicing again. I think they start on Thursday or Friday this week. But their first four games, two against Florida, two against Tampa Bay, were postponed. And those have now been announced. The two games here in Tampa Bay are going to be made up May 4th and May 10th. So they're extending the regular season already. The regular season was supposed to end May 8th. They've already scheduled a game for Monday, May 10th.
Okay.
And then they had to move the Florida game from May 4th to March 16th. But the real Lightning news is they have two players now on the COVID list. Curtis McElhinney went on Sunday, and then Blake Coleman on Monday.
That's a big one.
Now, we don't know if they have COVID or if it's just close contact. So they'll play in Columbus on Thursday night. We don't know their availability. I would assume Vasilevskiy would get the start anyway on Thursday. He hasn't,
with that many days off.
Well, yeah, he hasn't played since Saturday. You would assume it would be Vasilevskiy. But Blake Coleman, we don't know what his status will be for Thursday at this point. They, you know, it's much like the NFL. It's pretty much just a, you know, hey, they're on the reserve COVID list. And they don't give you details unless someone else makes it public. So hockey's pretty good at keeping those secrets of news doesn't leak out as much as some of the other sports. So,
but they've swept through some teams, you know.
Well, they beat Chicago. Granted, Chicago's
well, no, I meant the COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Throughout the NHL. And yes. This is the thing. I mean, both, you know, them and the NBA were in a bubble. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not used to playing a season with this virus and not be so, you know, completely isolated.
Right. I mean the leagues are doing their best to keep the players and those personnel separate from everyone else.
Right.
There's, you know, I can tell you working in an arena with those teams, because I do some work at the Raptors too, as well as the Lightning. There's definitely new protocols, and you can't go to areas, and you know, unless you're part of, there's different tiers of people in the building as far as where you can go, and you know, they're trying to create as much of a bubble as possible for the players, particularly when they're at the arenas. Now they go home at the end of the day, and you know, so you know, you can't control what they do at home. Unlike in the bubble where everyone was pretty much locked in and you were there. But, you know, so they're trying to, you know, eliminate those and you know, but at least at the arena and stuff, they're limiting who has contact and all that with players, with the personnel who interacts with the players too. So,
yeah, it'll be, I mean, you know, all these teams or leagues are going to have cancellations they're going to have to deal with somehow, some way. And hopefully it gets better as more Americans get vaccinated. That rollout has been slow, so who knows exactly, you know, when that's going to happen. But the fact that they're playing, so
it's a little weird for the Lightning. I mean, they played the two games against Chicago, and then you get kind of, you know, 5 days off.
Yeah.
So they took the weekend off. They practiced Monday. They'll practice again Tuesday and Wednesday. It's almost like you kind of extended training camp.
It's not the worst thing for a team to have to practice when they've just been back like 10 days.
I don't think it's a bad thing for the Lightning. I mean, you know, you got to make up those games later, so you some extras there. But, you know, I don't think this early in the season it was a bad thing to happen. I mean, you know, you don't want Dallas to get COVID, don't get me wrong. But
No.
But as far as, you know, what happens with the Lightning schedule, I mean, they played the two against Chicago. Chicago's a really bad team. They're a mess defensively. Rush coverage and all that. Well, the goaltending too, but even their rush coverage and you know, the amount of 2-on-1s and 3-on-1s they give up, and they're a mess. I mean, Detroit I think is better than them this year. I think, you know, Chicago will finish last in the division, in the Central Division. I think Detroit isn't going to make the playoffs, but they'll be better. You know, I mean, the Lightning should win this division. even without Nikita Kucherov. And speaking of Vita Vea coming back, Nikita Kucherov could come back for the playoffs for the Lightning, which would be
a huge boost, that would be. Yeah.
That's could 4 months from now. We'll see how the rehab and everything else goes. But but the Lightning will resume on Thursday in Columbus, first road game of the season. And the road is very different for hockey this year. So it's kind of like a baseball schedule. You go to a city and you stay there for a few days and you play two games.
Which is weird, because if you're the team that loses or even win, I mean, let's say you win the first one, man, you got to feel like you're going to be, teams will be scrambling to get at least, 2 points out of it.
Well, and every game's a 4-point game because they're all division games. So
that's right.
But there you go. But it's going to be interesting whether this sticks for hockey. Because I think, so you go to a city and you play, and then you 2 days later you play another game, then you leave. So less travel.
Yeah, I was going to say. So and think of the amount of money you save.
Well, for the teams, you save money in that. But for the players, less flights at 2 a.m.
True.
Less time of getting into the hotel at 4 a.m.
True.
Less flights, period.
Right.
You get to unpack at a hotel instead of just staying there night and gone again.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Well, I know you don't. But much like in baseball, you get to a city and you're there for 3 days. And you're working every day, but you're...
I went on a road trip. I told you, years ago I had to do a road trip in Baltimore. And the hardest thing for me was to realize I'd been in this hotel room probably about 8 hours. And I go, I can actually take those clothes out of the suitcase. I've been here like 4 days. Like, what are you doing? So I took them out. I put the T-shirts in one drawer. I thought, this is kind of cool. It's like, I've never unpacked before.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting if hockey sticks with this, because, like I said, it also saves a ton of money for the owners.
Oh, yeah.
And, as part of the rev share and all that. And then, like I said, for the players, it's a lot less late-night flights, a lot less travel and wear and tear in your body that way.
It's better for your body, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now, will we see this more going forward? It'll be interesting.
If you drop two in that city, you're maybe not going to be so excited about that schedule.
Well, no, and that's the down part of it. I mean, we've already seen a lot of teams, and the Lightning do this a lot of times, where if they're on the road, say they're playing in Chicago tonight, and they've got a game in St. Louis 2 nights from now.
The hop over.
They won't travel that night. They'll wait till the next day to fly, so that they fly during the day instead of, getting in at 4 a.m.
Smart.
Now, if you have a game the next night, you have to leave right away, but... in a back-to-back. Yeah. So you already see a lot of teams start to do that. But so I think it's going to be real interesting, how the players and the owners look at this season and say, hey, is this something we want to do going forward? And maybe something that comes out of a pandemic and having to do things differently that they end up keeping.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of things will be born by this this pandemic that's going to change the world forever. And sports is certainly going to be one of them. And how we cover sports, how we talk about them, which we'll always talk about them here on the podcast, also is going to be different, and it's going to be different when the Super Bowl finally gets here, whether Brady and the Bucks are in it or not. I'm trying in my mind picture, like, how long could you sit at a Zoom call on a Super Bowl week? Hopefully you don't have to do all of the stories, but there's going to be probably one right after the other. So it'll be interesting. The Bucks. I mean, they're going to continue their preparations. We're going to have Tom Jones tomorrow. Is that what I saw?
That's correct. Yes.
Nostradamus to tell us exactly. I got pinned down on the radio show. They said, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I think they're going to lose. I think New Orleans is better. I think they're in their heads. I think it's a close game. And if I recall, Steve, Tom was like, no, they beat the Saints.
Yeah.
He was real confident. Yeah. He goes, I think they beat them. I was like, wait, what? No, I think they're going to win. So we'll find out if he thinks they're going to beat the Packers, and then you got to run down there and put some money on it, because he was right. He was absolutely right. No, extra pair of eyes. So, hey, folks, if you're into some party platters, and who's not, well, for your best catering in Tampa Bay, call Mr. Empanada. That's where you want to go. Now, if you're still asking what's an empanada, it's very simple. You just take your favorite foods. You place them in a homemade – or not. You know, it is homemade dough, actually, inside a pocket of homemade dough. It's cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and really nice, piping hot. Order some delicious menu items if you'd like to, made from scratch. We're talking about soups and salads, Cuban sandwiches, which are delicious. You can go to all of them online at MrEmpanada.com, or you can call any one of their seven. We've got seven convenient locations just in Tampa Bay. Where Latin food quality and service meet, it's Mr. Empanada. Tom Jones tomorrow for Steve Versnick. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.